And if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to John chapter 8, verse 12. Okay. Scanning the room for somebody in particular. Let me see. Okay, is Mrs. Beck here? Did Mrs. Beck? There she is. All right, Mrs. Beck. So Mrs. Beck, you like my pen? You like my pen? Yeah. You see, during the Christmas holiday season, we were doing this series on Advent, and I mentioned the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season, as a true statement, though it has become a little cliche and a little cheesy, and some of us are uncomfortable saying it. Well, the next day, I start getting these weird post-it notes in my office that aren't attributed to anyone, but they are reminding me that Jesus is apparently the reason for the season. I got mail without a return address, telling me that Jesus is the reason. I'm getting all this stuff all week long telling me that Jesus is the reason for the season, and I don't know who it is. And then my wife gets this pin in the mail, and it's from Mrs. Beck, and Mrs. Beck tells my wife to tell me, you better put that pin on because Jesus is the reason for the season, and you tell him it was Mrs. Beck, not Karen, who's given this. So for my sister in Christ, whom I love, I got you. All right, can we talk about the serious stuff now? Okay, can we do that? Like this super scary movie I saw over 10 years ago called The Descent. The Descent is about this group of women. They are into like extreme cave exploration or spelunking. They're doing all that stuff. And in this movie, the first half of it, they get down into this cave that they really shouldn't be in, and they're way down deep, and they get stuck and lost. No light down there. And they are terrified. They don't know what to do. So it's a really claustrophobic kind of a thing. What they don't know is that for like 100 plus years or so, maybe longer, there are these humanoid creatures that have been living down there in the pitch black that have just been waiting for some extreme spelunkers to come down so that they could eat them. And it's super scary, and I really enjoyed it. And these creatures, these humanoid, whatever they were, miners who got lost, I don't know. But they've been down there so long, And they don't have any sight, right? They can't see. They are blind. The darkness has blinded them. So even when they can turn on a flashlight, the monsters, the creatures, they can't see. The light's there, but they can't detect it. They have to listen. They have to smell. And I like scary movies. They don't have to have humanoid flesh-eating monsters in them. I like scary movies. I like suspense. And one of the common elements in scary, suspenseful, thriller-type movies is darkness. Darkness always plays a role because the dark is scary for a variety of reasons. We don't know what's in there or out there. We can't see where we're going, what might happen to us, where we might fall. And tonight what I want us to do is I want us to recognize the darkness, the real darkness. I want us to recognize it, but I want us to see the light. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is God's word. Let's pray. God, we need your word like we need the light from the sun to see and even to live. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the words that Jesus spoke here, and we're asking you by your spirit to teach us tonight to not only be a people who see the light, but who walk in the light. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so two things I want us to sort of notice here in this passage. One is the light of the world, right? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. But I also want us to consider what he means by the light of life. And this will hopefully tie together this Christmas holiday Advent season, as well as the series that we've been going through here at Redeemer. Jesus says that he is the light of the world, right? I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he is presuming, right? He doesn't presume, he knows, doesn't he? He knows with great certainty what we all tend to understand that the world is a dark place. Maybe you don't think of the world as a really dark place, but I know that at least at times you are confronted with the reality that there is great darkness in this world. I think the world is a very dark place. I see darkness everywhere, even when it is at its most beautiful, even when I can see God's creation and his glory is reflected. I know that evil lurks even there, because if there's nobody else but me, there's evil in me. Pride and arrogance and racism and abuse and thievery and on it goes. The world is dark. And as a dark place, well, darkness reflects evil, right? In fact, as you begin to look in Scripture, you can see how darkness is presented in these ways. It's aligned with evil. Wherever there is darkness, there is danger, because you cannot see where you are going. Wherever there is darkness, it represents ignorance, because you can't see, therefore you do not know. Darkness represents fear. Darkness represents temptation. The darkness is what every one of us and every one of our children and grandchildren is born into. Make no mistake about it. The world is dark. And in Scripture, most often, darkness is linked to or connected to sin, the reality of sin, the path of sin, and the practice of sin. Just let me read a couple of passages to you. Proverbs chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Speaking of the wicked, Solomon says that they are those who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Darkness is linked to sin again and again. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" It's associated with corruption and evil. Therefore, we know that whatever darkness and evil and sin is, it isn't in God. In fact, that's exactly what we read in 1 John 1:5, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he assumes that we understand that there is darkness in which we live. Now, when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," hopefully, like this metaphor of darkness in Scripture, the metaphor of light begins to connect, right, with various statements that are made throughout our Scripture. Light. If darkness represents ignorance and fear and evil, temptation, then light represents righteousness and truth and revelation and knowledge and safety. God himself is light, we know from 1 John 1:5. And this light of God is oftentimes concentrated in the Word, as we read in Psalm 119, 105, where we read that God's word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We live in a dark world where sin and Satan and every form of corruption and temptation surround us. Yet God is light, and Jesus himself is saying, "I am the light of the world." In fact, if you're familiar with your Bible, or if you were a Jewish person listening to Jesus say these things, then you might start to think about one of the greatest demonstrations of light that the people of God have experienced, and that was in Exodus 13, when Israel had been led by Moses through the miraculous power of God out of Egypt. They were enslaved, they were led out of Egypt into the wilderness. And in order to bring them on their journey from Egypt to the promised land, they were led by God. And God was manifesting his presence before them in a pillar of fire. A pillar of smoke, a pillar of fire. Whatever this thing was, it was tall and massive like a huge column, and at night, it was bright. They knew that God was with them. They knew that God was among them, the light of God in their midst. And now here Jesus is telling everyone who will listen, I am the light of the world. Now, this concept of Jesus being the light, this isn't the first time. In fact, he says it throughout his ministry. And we can just look at a few of these examples. John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus said, the light, speaking of himself, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. See, Jesus understands that he is the light, but the darkness, whatever this darkness that is filled with sin and danger and temptation, is active and moving and seeking to advance on all of us. So Jesus is saying, listen, I'm the light. Stay close to me. Or maybe you're more familiar with John 3:16. Right, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. So listen, the light has come into the world, and the people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. Jesus, as the light of the world, demonstrates to us that he is altogether unique from any other historical religious figure, even among the Jewish people. And Jesus does this. He'll take an idea, a metaphor, and he will draw this line. He doesn't say, I am a door. He says, I am the door in John 10. He doesn't say, you know what, I'm kind of like bread. He says, I am the bread of life in John 6. And here he's saying, I am the light of the world. He knows that we live in darkness, assumes that we understand that, and he positions himself in this teaching as the answer to the darkness. I am the light. There is only one. There is no source that you can go to that will bring revelation and clarity and safety, light, to you. And Jesus, as the light of the world, what does that mean? What is it implying for us? If Jesus is the light in the darkness that we live, it means that Jesus, as the light, is revealing truth. He exposes our sin to ourselves. He exposes the truths and the mysteries of God. In giving us light, he teaches us where we are ignorant. He secures our safety by showing us the path that we need to walk on and thereby protects us. And ultimately, by giving us light, he saves us. Jesus is the light of the world. And whoever follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this is what I want to talk about, this light of life. You see, the threat of walking in darkness maybe doesn't sound so bad to some of you because, you know, we live in a pretty technologically advanced day where we always have light. Even when we don't have light, we have light. The other day, I was taking my stupid dog out. We have two stupid dogs. I was taking the younger stupid dog out and to go to the bathroom at night, really dark. Now, I live in a very dark neighborhood. There's no street lights, nothing like that. So out there, and I'm like, oh, let's go, do your thing, whatever you're supposed to do. And then she does this Houdini juke, boop, and she pops out of her collar, and she just runs into the backyard where there is zero light, pitch, like a blanket of darkness. So I have to go back there, and she wants to play. Now she's, you know, she wants to run around and do whatever she likes to do. I don't know. I don't want to play with her. So I go around, and but I have my phone. I can turn my phone on, and I have light. So it, for us walking around, even when it's pitch black, I can bring out my phone. Like, we almost always have light. But if you've ever had to walk in true darkness, you know that it slows you down. You know that there is anxiety, even if it's just because you might stub your toe or slip and fall. Walking in darkness is scary. It is dangerous. That's where the thieves are. That's where you get mugged. That's where you get attacked. And Jesus says, you all walk in darkness spiritually. The dangerous, the most dangerous kind of darkness is where we are born into. Jesus says, I am the light of life. So whoever follows me is not going to walk in darkness. So to follow Jesus, again, it's another metaphor that he uses all the time, to follow him. You can't physically follow Jesus because he has ascended and he sits enthroned in heaven. So you can't physically follow him as he walks through the earth. He is omnipresent, of course, but he's also dwelling in heaven waiting to return. To follow Jesus is a metaphor for believing in him and trusting in him and obeying him by faith. This is why we talk about coming to Jesus or following Jesus, because to come to him is to believe, to follow him is to believe. So Jesus says, listen, if you follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness. You're going to instead walk in the light. You're going to have the light. You see, we can't see anything without Jesus. We can't see. I mean, we get these hazy ideas of truth, and are the way that we conceive of reality or our lives or ourselves is all funhouse, marred and twisted, until the revelation of Jesus Christ and the light of his word makes it all plain. The world is still dark. Jesus has come. He's the light of the world, but the world is still dark. That's why we need Jesus. In fact, the darkness of the world is something that you will still have to walk through. I mean, people, I think sometimes we look at a passage like this and we say, okay, so I don't have to walk in the darkness because I have the light of life. Well, there is still darkness that you must walk through. It's just that you have the light so that you can see. That light penetrates the darkness so that you can move forward through it safely. We have a light that guides us. Listen to what Jesus said in John 12:46. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. And whoever believes in him, whoever follows him, they do not walk in the darkness, unprotected, ignorant, and overwhelmed. They have, he says, they have the light of life, which is salvation itself. It is light that grants life so that we see and understand and know. You have it, this light. It's something that we have. It's not that there's a light out there. It's not a pillar of light that we see from afar. The light of life is something that we have. It is now with us. It is now in us. Jesus, as the light, dwells in us by his Holy Spirit. It's been given to us. Listen to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, this is the gift of salvation. Not just that there is something out there that will protect us, but that God himself in the person of Jesus Christ, who is light, opens our eyes to see and to behold this reality. we can see. And this light is with us and in us. It has come to define us. It's not just this, that as sinners we walked in the darkness. Paul says that's what you were. And now it's not just that you get to walk in the light. You are light because you are united to me, says Jesus. See, the birth of Jesus, Christmas, it's about the dawning of salvation. It is light breaking into darkness. It is relief for the sin-bound conscience and the broken heart and the hostility that exists between God and humans and brother and sister. It is the dawning of our redemption and for all who will believe. The problem is, we live in the dark for so long that we grow blind. We always talk about being blinded by the light, like that good song by The Weeknd. We talk about being blinded by the light. We're blinded by the dark. We're so accustomed to it that when the lights are turned on, we don't notice a thing. And that's what the darkness of sin has done. It has blinded us so that we do not see the light that is right in front of us. We need God himself, who is light, to heal our eyes so that we can see, to give us sight, and then grant us this gift. See, he gives us the light of the world in Jesus. And then Jesus leads us through this darkness that each of us have to persevere through. My encouragement is simple. It is to consider Christ. And I don't mean to consider Christ as if you might weigh him and see if he is worth your time. I mean you and I should meditate on all that Jesus is. As you consider Christ, do you see him as light that gives life? As light who makes sense of your dark, broken, twisted, scary world? When you look to Jesus, do you see him as light that gives you knowledge to know yourself and to know your God? Maybe not. Sometimes we need to have our eyes adjusted a bit, right? I don't know how or why it always happens, but I've experienced it myself when you consider Jesus and maybe the brightness of his being has somehow dimmed. Not in reality, but in our own hearts, in our own perception. If you're having a hard time seeing the light of the world, if you're having a hard time seeing the brightness of Christ, then I want to encourage you to look for him. Look for him because he is there and the light is shining. You look for him. You look for him in his word, the lamp. You expect to find light. You expect to discover Christ apart from the word. Look for the light of Jesus Christ by opening up the word and praying that God would give us the eyes to see. And if you begin to see the light, again, you can walk in that light and find security. I've noticed in talking to a number of Christians that as crazy as 2020 has been, so many of you have persevered through it with a confidence in God and in what he is doing that can only be derived from understanding this truth. that as dark as it can get out there, we aren't blind. We're not lost. We have Christ, and we have his word. This is why the birth of Jesus Christ is so significant, because his birth is the dawning of our salvation. It is the full revelation of God. And in him, we are invited to be delivered from this domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of light, in which we walk with the Savior who never leaves us and never forsakes us. That's what Christmas is about. That's why the birth of Christ is so significant. And that is why we should have so much joy in celebrating this gift that we have in Christ. And it's why it overflows in gratitude and sharing and celebration of all kinds. Not just because we like to party, but because we are happy that we are no longer in the dark. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us to see what is right in front of our face. We're grateful, Lord, that Jesus is the light of the world, that he is there to be embraced, to be trusted, to be followed. Lord, for those that are completely blinded and cannot see, we pray that, Lord, you would open their eyes, that you would convert them and draw them to Christ. For those of us who do know you and have trusted in Christ, Lord, if our spiritual sight is foggy or messed up, we pray, God, that you would revive us today and help us to see Jesus as he really is, the light of the world, the Savior of the world, our Savior and therefore our everything. Lord, be with us, encourage us in the faith as we continue to pray and sing these songs of worship and seek you together. In Jesus' name, amen.